to just know those lines so well that I wouldn't have to think about them, because I knew we were going to be outdoors, and I knew that director Coppola was going to have us climbing trees and every mm-hmm. other thing, which he did. Bless his heart, he's a marvelous guy.
You enjoyed working with Francis?
Oh, I sure did. He's a really an amazing, very talented
inventive
fellow. Yeah. But anyway, I taped time and again into a tape, uh-huh. And then I would work with the tape. I'd have the cues on the tape, uh-huh. and thrown at me, and I'd be walking around the room. The cue would be thrown at me, and I'd just answer it, just as uh-huh. I'd know when how to answer, no matter what I was doing.
Uh-huh.
And that's very helpful for me. Some people don't bother with that. Some actors think that they shouldn't know their lines too well, and the director sometimes doesn't want them to know them too well, and I think that's wrong. I don't go for it, because I think Spencer Tracy was about as fine an actor as been produced ever.
Yeah,
he said the one thing he has told many people is that the one thing, if you're an actor, know your lines. I go along with that. When I know them, I can do them better, and it doesn't drive you frantic if you don't know them. There's nothing worse. I've had to learn, like in television, you do a lot of things awfully fast. I did a few of those straight things on television. And roles that I liked were interesting to do and that kind of thing. And you have no time to learn. A whole new page come into you all of a sudden. Boom, you gotta do it. Well, it's panic spill, you know. It just isn't worth it. Life isn't worth going through that, because it's frightening to think of that many lines. I remember I did a thing with Raymond Massey. I was on one of those Dr. Kildare things, a four-part thing, and I had a very good role in that as a pool player, and I liked doing it. Raymond Massey was a doctor, as you know. And while he was working with me on this, he had a script of show three shows back that he had done that they wanted a retake on, and he had to rush away from me. He says, I've just got this thing. He says, well, what do I say here? And so that it's because he's so great. Anyway, he said, I got to go over on stage six or something and do this other thing after this. And here he had the page of dialogue he just gave. Well, I think you can learn to do that. I know I did. I learned to get things done, but I don't think you can give your best. Especially not if you're subjected to the open air. It's not too easy to work out in the open air anyway compared to the indoors, I don't think. But it feels different, sounds different, everything's different. But when you mm-hmm. see it on the screen, it doesn't sound that way. But the open spaces make a lot of difference to your... you just got to get used to it. And if you're thrown into it all of a sudden, it can throw you.
In terms of Finian's Rainbow, I understand that... that production was completely rehearsed and performed at Warner Brothers before they started shooting.
Well, it was all the dialogue was.
Yeah.
We had a theater in the round. That was Coppola's wish, mm-hmm. and good for us that he had that wish. When I first heard about it, I thought, oh no, oh my gosh, I've got dance routines to do. I have no time to do this all in theater in the round thing. I've got to get these dances on. Well, somehow or other we managed, and I had to sandwich in some time later on, particularly on the Idle Poor Idle Rich number, where I had a solo and I had never any time to get at, and it was done in a climbing a lot of boxes. I had to think up some idea for that, and in a tobacco barn type thing.
Yeah.
Well, I could never get to that tobacco barn because there wasn't any tobacco barn until we just a few days before we were ready to do it. So I had to sneak in and work on a Sunday to get it done a number of times. I had no other time other than rehearsing dialogue the rest of the
uh-huh.
time at the rehearsal period, which we had, 6-7 weeks rehearsal period ahead, which I usually spend in dancing.
Uh-huh.
And then do the dialogue later. Worry about that, or not worry about it. Anyway, it's the kind of musical comedy plots that we've had in the past.
But this is not the usual kind. This is a rather fine
musical. Well, you're quite right. I wanted very, very much to do what Coppola wanted anyway. I had great faith in him and the producer, Joe Landon. And I loved the role, and I wanted Finian to be something that he'd never been before, because Finian has done 20 years ago. He was not a musical participant in the piece. He was just Finian, a kind of a straight Irishman. And so when I came in, of course, they had to... I had to participate with the musical numbers and so forth. And that, with all of that, I wanted to act this role Right, and so when they got the theater and the round going, I was so grateful for it, because I knew every blinking word in the whole show before we started to shoot the picture. Now, this has never happened to me in a movie. I did it a little more so in this last one I did, which was a thing called Midas Run. It's a non-musical. I learned most of the dialogue of that before we started, too. But there is a tendency of people not to know their dialogue when they start a picture. And it's so much easier when you do. You can sleep at night. Gosh, I mean, it. But anyway, we did this theater in the round without the musical numbers. Anyway, we couldn't get them on the theater in the round stage anyway that they'd built for this. But we did know that piece. And most everybody, there were a few people that did not participate. Some of the people who came later in the film didn't participate in the theater in the round that was done by a cast of roving actors that we had that were just there for that purpose to play all the various roles that were supposed to be played temporarily, you see, which was a very good idea. It was kind of a new thing, and for me, because I'd never been through quite that kind of treatment. And I think it paid off, because I believe the picture looks good. I liked it, what I saw, and I didn't see any of these recent previews, but people like it, and they told me they liked it very much.
Yes, it's a very fresh, inventive film, and it does not rely on most of the production values that musical comedies seem to rely on. It's a very simple film.
Well, he was very specific about that, Coppola and Landon, but they didn't want it to look like a stage version of a show by any chance, you know, like this, because they would have been wrong in doing it that way anyway. And some nowadays, if you more and more, I've never had. Actually, I can't remember that I've done a film version of a stage show, because Funny Face was the title, but it wasn't a stage show.
No, they took just the score.
Right, the Bandwagon was too, but the other one, oh yes, I have done. Of course, I have. I've done.
You did a Cole Porter.
Gay Divorce.
Cole Porter was it?
Right, I've done that, of course, but that was nothing like a stage show. I mean, we never thought of making it look like a stage show. There's some people say, oh, well, it ought to look like a stage show. I think they've tried to do that. I think it's completely wrong. Utilize the medium. You've got it. It's going to give you endless effects and endless values. So that's what is very important, especially with this great big screen. I think I love a great big screen. Oh, great. Oh, I really do. Yeah.
Do you normally have all your musical numbers pretty well blocked out before you start shooting, or do you...
Oh yes, before we start shooting, I usually have. If at least I have them in my mind. Like as I mentioned, I keep going on to the Finian Rainbow number, Idle Poor Idle Rich. I never could get to that one because we were all doing something else. We had to go out on location where 3/4 or 9/10 of the picture was done outdoors, you know. And you cannot rehearse the same outdoors as you do indoors, because you have a rehearsal hall indoors, and you get outdoors, you got trees and rocks and twigs and stuff, and you're falling over, your feet all cut up. I know the little dancing girl, Barbara Hancock, she was dancing her heart out there one day, and she stepped on glass and rocks and everything. She had to go to the hospital for 3 days. She couldn't work at all, the poor little thing. And they don't realize that when they talk about, oh, well, we'll just do it when you get there, you know, just do it, it'll be natural, it'll look more natural. You got to know where you're stepping in dance. I got to know. But I didn't have any dancing on the grass in this that bothered me. I had one little number with the girl, Barbara, which wasn't a number. It was just an incident, which I'm thankful that they didn't use, because it was... it just didn't belong. And the number was long, and we were able to eliminate it, and it didn't make any sense. So... That was unimportant, but I did do a big number with Audrey Hepburn in that picture on the grass.
Yeah, funny girl, a funny face, rather.
A funny face, yeah.
Yeah.
And
on a raft as well.
Well, we were on a raft, and but we were dancing in the mud, which is little Audrey made that classic remark to me. I always remember it so, because she says, we were waiting for this rain to stop in Paris for 5 weeks, and we were working outside of Paris, some, I forget where it was, but a beautiful spot out there, and it was just a quagmire practically for days, and oh goodness, can we ever get there? Finally the weather cleared up, but the, so we went out to shoot it, and it was still muddy, and Audrey said to me, here I have waited for 15 years to dance with Fred Astaire, and what do I get? Mud. That's very sweet of it to do it, but I had it in a book I wrote incidentally. I love that.
Yeah, it's step in time. Steps in time. Steps in time. Sorry. Yeah.